Amen. Isaiah 21, 11 and 12. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come to me. I added the to me there. Night is a time when things get worse, isn't it? If you ever had the flu, you ever had pain, ever had sorrow of some kind, nighttime seems like it magnifies it. It's worse. Through the day, you might be feeling good. Got a text from someone this morning, said they were sick and not feeling good. Well, through the day, you feel okay, not too bad. But then the evening, night comes, boy, it seems like it just hammers you. And it can be physical sickness. It can be relational problems. It can be emotional problems. It can be all kinds of different problems that we have. But the night seems like it comes, and it's worse. Fella, he sang a song. I have a CD of it, and in it he sings about losing his spouse. And he says in there, the years went fast, but the days are long. And I understand what he's saying, that when you lose a spouse or a close friend, you think back, my, the years went by fast. But now the days are long that the person is alone. Well, there's something about the night that causes the increase of it. All the problems. Pain increases at night and sickness, and it seems like it's worse. Well, the Bible says the false prophets are going to be delivered to the blackness of night. And so, because of their false prophets, night has to do with not only the idea of not seeing, but also not comprehending as well. And in heaven, there's not going to be any night. Bible says, not going to be any night there. So if you fear the night and what's going on, set your sights on heaven. There's not going to be any night there for that. Because it says, there's no sun, no need of the sun. Because the Father and the Son are there. And there is no night as we know it. Well, I want to talk to you about night in relation to situations that each of us have. The night of doubt. Doubt is a thief of our spirit. Doubt can cause us to be in bondage. We doubt things. And a lot of times we doubt God. Is he going to help us? Is he going to do what we're asking for? We pray and we doubt whether God is going to do what it is. And the enemy, you see, tries to make us doubt God. And that brings a night over our soul and over our spirit. We're shown the truth of natural things, and we're told that God cannot or will not do it by the enemy. He tells us that. And we know Abraham, he experienced that. Because on one occasion, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. See, Isaac was not born yet. Be years, probably about 13 years, I think it is, until, or maybe not quite 13, until Isaac is born. And here he is, this old man. His wife is old too. They're past the years of bearing children. And God has told him, but doubt has crept in to his life. He doubted whether God could do it. And he said, oh, how about Ishmael? Let Ishmael live before you. See, Abraham doubted God's protection too. You see, when he went down at the time of the famine into Egypt, and his wife, even though she was older, was a beautiful woman, he was afraid they would take her and kill him. So he doubted whether God would protect him. So he took matters into his own hand and he lied. He lied. He said, this is my sister, dead. You see, the darkness, dark night of doubt can cover us and grip us and get his claws in us, and we doubt God's love. We doubt God's protection. We say, it's been so long since I prayed about that and asked for God to do this, and he hasn't come through yet. And we begin to doubt, and the enemy feeds that doubt, and the blackness and the darkness of the night come over us. The darkest night of doubt for the disciples was between the crucifixion and the resurrection. They doubt. They didn't even believe the women when they came back, and they said, he's risen. He's risen. The angel said he's risen. And they didn't even believe. And even after some of them did believe, Thomas, even they said, we saw the Lord, he was there. And he says, unless I put my hand into his side and in the nail prints, I'm not going to believe. Doubt is like a death shroud that covers us at times. It's the blackness of that night of doubt. And the thing is, doubt is infectious. It's infectious. It's like a poison. It begins to spread like a cancer. It metastasizes. And a poison, an infection in the body spreads. It causes all kinds of doubt into our total life. And it can spread into the lives of others. People look to us, perhaps, for our faith and our walk with the Lord. And we begin to doubt. Then it puts doubt in them as well. It's infectious. Doubt brings a night into our spiritual life, and we stumble around groping for a way out of that night of doubt that comes upon us. Some of us have experienced that, and maybe you're experiencing it now. Doubt. You're doubting what God can do. You're doubting God is going to heal. You're doubting that God is going to help you. You're doubting, and it blankets you. It's a night, a dark night that you can't see out of. When it's dark, we live in a time of street lights and night lights and all that. And the dark of the moon, you get out there in that dark night, and you peer into it, and you can't see anything. It's a dark night of doubt, and that's what doubt is. We peer looking for some kind of hope, some kind of rope to hold on to, something that can help us. But that night of doubt disshrouds us, and we suffocate with it, and we stumble around groping for a way out of that blackness of the doubt that is there. It's infectious. It infects other people. No matter what people say, we doubt. We doubt. And the enemy feeds it. The enemy feeds it. Well, there's another night that a lot of people experience. It's the night of bereavement. The loss of loved ones. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the loved one has died, but I read a letter here from Brother Marlon Lynch, and he said there in the letter, see if I can find the phrase that he used, I liked it. If you didn't know it, Marlon is a retired school teacher. I'm not sure what subject he taught. And he says, what it does, he said that his wife has dementia and Parkinson's. It's an angry disease, and it is. And so she is still alive. He has to do everything for her. And in a sense, he's lost her. He's been doing that for 8 years now to take care of her. He's lost that fellowship and that love and warmth and companionship that once was his wife. And so you see, bereavement doesn't necessarily have to be that someone has died. It can be that they are incapacitated, maybe Alzheimer's. The bereavement of losing someone to that dreaded disease of Alzheimer's, where they don't know who you are, they don't even know who they are. One of the darkest nights we experience is bereavement, a loss of someone. And it might not be a loss through dementia or Alzheimer's or death. It might be the loss through divorce or separation. I imagine Mrs. Kirk is going to be going through that dark night of bereavement. I can't imagine the statement that she made concerning everything publicly. She had to have God's strength and grace to be able to stand before the cameras and all and to say what she said there concerning that. But the night causes loneliness and separation. It takes us into the realm of depression sometimes and fear. It brings an emptiness into our very being, a vacuum into the very depth of our soul. The loss of someone, whether it be death, whether it be Alzheimer's, whether it be dementia, or whether it be divorce or separation. Or it could even be empty nest. It could be that. But it brings depression and fear. It brings an emptiness and a vacuum into our soul. It can be caused by any of those that we mentioned. But you see, it casts a deep and extended shadow over us as we try to go on through life. We try to function, and the functionality doesn't go as well. You don't realize what you're doing. It's a shadow over us, and it can swallow us up. That night of bereavement, that grips us, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. It can lead us into a deeper and darker night, because then it brings doubt alongside of it, and it casts us into a deeper and a deeper darkness and torment for us. The last night that I want us to think about here this morning is the night of sin. The night of sin begins with temptation. Temptation that draws us away from God. We're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lusts. And it's the shadow of possibilities that temptation brings. And the enemy brings that temptation to us to do something or say something or not do something. And he brings the possibilities of, oh, how great this is going to be. And that temptation stalks us all through this life as we go. That temptation. The enemy does not give up. He's not going to give up as long as we're alive in this life. He's not going to give up. He will not give up until we are over in heaven. I don't know what Charlie Kirk's temptations were. I imagine some of the temptations he had was probably to tell some of them people off. That was my temptation. He was smart enough to do it, but he didn't. The love of God overpowered that temptation that he spoke to them kindly and loved them. He didn't compromise, but he loved them. But you see, the temptation is there. When we're alone, the temptation comes. No one's around. No one's looking. You can do this, and no one's going to see. It's a dark night, a temptation and sin. We give in to it. We could be in a group. The story was on the radio this morning about that guy. A group came up to try and tempt him to do something that he shouldn't do. He stood firm. He didn't do it. Yeah, and the temptation is going to be for people today to stand up, children in school to stand up for their faith and for what's right in the face of those who will make fun or persecute or in some way try to keep them from it. It's a dark night, a temptation to give up and to turn back and not do it. That temptation can swallow us. It casts a long shadow over us. And we feel the chilling fingers of it just coming around us. It wraps us and envelops our souls, because it's a night of temptation. It deceives us about the dark. It gives us a sense of relief when the temptation comes. We're tempted, we don't give in. Finally, we give in, and we have a sense of release because we gave in, but we don't realize this darkness is a night of sin that does it. There are moments when we yield to temptation and sin, and you feel a release. Maybe you tell someone off. Maybe you do something you shouldn't do. Look someplace you shouldn't look. But then that deception proves to be darker than even the temptation was, because we yielded to it. It's the night, the shadow of temptation. And then guilt sets in into our heart. And the darkness of that guilt surrounds us, and we feel all alone. We feel excommunicated and cast out. And soon, very soon, that relief that we experienced by giving in becomes guilt that we yielded to that darkness and that temptation, and it wraps us in its cocoon, and it threatens to kill our very soul, which is what sin does. The soul that sins, it shall die. Kill us spiritually. It tries to draw us deeper and deeper into the darkness and tell us that it's light. We'll see the light, but we go deeper and deeper into the darkness. Well, I like the scripture that I read, because it says, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" The watchman is the guy on the wall. He's keeping an eye out. He peers into the darkness looking for the enemy. And the watchman replies, "The morning comes." He's watching, the morning comes. And that's the message for us today. In the darkness of these things that I spoke of, the morning comes. The morning has risen. Morning drives away the night. It might be dark and it's black. You might be out hunting or fishing or just out, and it's black and dark, but as soon as that sun comes up, darkness has to scatter. See, God shines his light upon us, whether in doubt, whether bereavement, whether in sin. God comes to shine his light. John says, "I've come to bear witness of that light." And Jesus is that light. He shines that light. The night cannot overpower the light of God. And God comes, and he stands ready to scatter the night away by the dawning of his eternal light, if we will seek him. Jesus said, "Your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And the psalmist says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, because with the morning comes light." And then Daniel, he says, "God reveals the deep and the secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." The darkness is there of doubt, bereavement, or sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. He comes and he stands ready for anyone who is suffering through the darkness of any of these, any nights. He comes. He stands ready. "Take my hand. Let's walk in the light out of your darkness of doubt. Let's walk into the light out of your darkness of bereavement. Let's walk in the light out of the darkness of your temptation and sin. Walk with me," he says. And we walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's bow our heads for prayer.